Well, many of you have heard Michael Beam preach his series on Wednesday nights. We're going to hear him again this coming Wednesday night. Tonight, the assignment was patriotism, America, and all that sort of thing. And so we're going to enjoy a message by Michael Beam. After Michael's done, I'll come back and give instructions regarding the food, and we'll pray for the food and such. But let's give Michael our attention now.
Amen. All right, folks, if you would open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. I was thinking whenever I was going through and he challenged me with preaching this message on patriotism, and I was thinking, okay, well, what is patriotism? And we'll get into that in a second, but it is, the definition according to the dictionary is love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person, activity, or cause. Man alive. Brother Gale, I need to salute your shirt from here. Man, guys, there's an American flag back there. All right, I'll try to be quick because I know the food is on the grill. And John slipped me $5 to finish early. So my question to you is, why are we patriotic? You know, I thought to myself, why am I patriotic? What are the things about this country that I love? And I thought, well, I love the land. I love the land. I love the different regions of the mountains. I love the deserts. I love the forest, everything about it. I love the springs that we have. I love the trees, and like we heard in the song, just all the little intricate things about America that makes America what it is, just in the aspect of land. I love the military. I love the strength that we have. I love the fear and respect that we command. I love that aspect of it. I love the honor aspect of the military. And I love the opportunity that this country gives to us, that we don't have to stay at the bottom of the barrel. There's absolutely nothing restricting us from climbing the ladder of success. And I love that opportunity, you know, the poor doesn't have to stay poor in America. And we are free to do that. And I love that we can be anything, and I love that disadvantage is simply a mindset, that there is nothing holding us back. One of the things that I love most about this country is the flag. I love the flag because it's a living thing. And I love the flag because it stands for something. And this country has lost view of that. But I think it's important that we don't lose view of what it stands for. It represents and signifies more than just to identify us as the United States. It is a symbol of freedom. It is a symbol of hope for the future. It is a symbol that reminds us of the cost of freedom. Because with freedom, there's always a cost. And we see, we hear that there is, you know, the red, white, and blue. The red stands for the valor and sacrifice. The white stands for purity and innocence. And the blue stands for vigilance, perseverance, and justice. A large portion of this country no longer believes that. A large portion of this country, they hate the flag. They hate what it stands for. They don't understand it. The media and the politicians and the radicals, they have torn at the threads of the flag. But can I say that it still stands? And as long as you and I keep that flag reverenced and resolved in our hearts, it can't be taken. It can't be corrupted. And patriotism will not be gone as long as it's in our heart. And as long as we stand as patriots, freedom will ring. The blood that was paid to keep that flag free, to make it what it is so important for us to remember. And that's honestly what the 4th of July is all about, is remembrance. Remembering what was done. The blood and toil that the forefathers gave to pave the way, they established this government on biblical principles. And, you know, we have an extremely rich history. We're 2 days shy of 247 years old. And 247 years ago, 56 men joined together and they decided that they were no longer going to live under tyranny. That they thought that freedom was the only way that man was supposed to live. And they declared themselves free from the British Empire, knowing that the price of freedom would be blood. And it is a price that America has always been willing to pay. We've always been willing to pay that price of freedom, whether it's, you know, the Revolutionary War or World War I or II or any of the wars. We've always been willing to pay for that freedom because it is the essence of life. They say that it is an inalienable right. in the preamble to the Constitution. Inalienable right means that it is due every human, that it doesn't matter what border, it doesn't matter what ethnicity or anything like that. It is due every man to be free, to choose what he will do with his life, to do right, to do wrong, and it is within his realm to choose that freedom, and it is inherent to us. On July 4th of 1776, they signed the Declaration of Independence, and they did this knowing that that price would be high. And I could continue on glorifying America and everything, which I think is very important for us to do, but I'm a preacher of the gospel, not a preacher of the flag. So make sure you guys are in Matthew chapter 28 if you're not there already. The title of this message is, Are You Free? Are You Free? And I thought about a commercial that I heard a couple years ago, and it's a really funny one. It's a hot dog commercial, and it was around the 4th of July that it came out, and the guy, he's calling his friend, he's like, hey, we're having a big party on Thursday. Are you free on Thursday? And the guy goes, of course I'm free. I'm an American. And I just thought about that. I was like, yo, I like that. I'm free every day. And, you know, I think it was just a very funny commercial. But today, the title is, Are You Free? Are You Free? And I would say that freedom is the crowning attribute of the United States. But here's the challenge here. I believe that freedom is one of the crowning attributes of being a Christian. When Jesus came, he came to make us free. Free from the penalty of sin and free from the bondage of sin. Free from the bondage of what that sin brings, which is death and hell. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 1, it says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And there it's talking about being free from the law. In the Old Testament, they were bondage to the law. But when Christ came, he freed them from the law, so they were no longer bound to it. The book of Galatians talks about it over and over again, about how it's not salvation plus works. It's not salvation plus the law. It is simply what Jesus did, and that's how we attain freedom. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, he declared not just independence, but he declared victory over death. He declared victory over sin. And he gave that to us so that we may have independence. Sin and death are the two greatest oppressors of all time. Sin has touched every single person in this room, has touched every single person in this world. Sin it requires a penalty. And the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all have sinned. And God says that there is a penalty for sin. And the penalty for sin is death. The penalty for sin is hell. Now, that's an important thing to remember, is that we are freed from that whenever we believe in Jesus Christ. And, you know, sin has ravaged this planet. And sin has destroyed lives. Sin kills, it steals, it lies, it lusts, it covets, it's prideful. Sin has oppressed every man at one point. Sin holds us tight whenever we're born, and as long as we're alive, it's always trying to tear us apart. It's always trying to tear us down. Sin is always eating at us, and it has oppressed us. But, get this, every man is a slave to sin unless they have Christ. They are in bondage. And Jesus came so that we would have freedom from that. And it's important for us to look at that. And I want us to look at a couple other declarations in the Bible. A declaration is nothing more than a statement or a saying that is said, or a formal statement or account. In Matthew 28, which we'll get there in just a second, but before we get there, I want us to realize what had just transpired before this chapter. Before this chapter, Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, came to this earth, and he was marched into Jerusalem. He was falsely accused of doing something, and they took him, and they beat him, and they spat upon him, and they whipped him with the scourge of nine tails, and this whip, it had nine things, and it had little pieces of metal on it, and while they whipped him, it pulled apart his flesh, and they beat him. And it was a horrible thing. And Jesus, he then had to carry the instrument of his execution up the road to Golgotha. And whenever they nailed him to the cross, they set him in place, and he had his arms out like this. And whenever he dropped in, his shoulders came out of socket. And it was hard for him to breathe, and he heaved for breath. Every breath was painful, and it was torturous. And I say that today to remind us, just as the same reason we celebrate the 4th of July, I say this here, to remind us of the cost of freedom. And I say this also to remind us of the weight of sin. Sometimes we laugh and we joke about it, but sin is a serious thing. What happened to Jesus was the result of sin. Your sin. That's what sent Jesus to the cross, was your sin and mine. But we see here, and I want us to look at the result, because that's a dark thing that happened, but it was a price that needed to be paid. And we'll get to that in a second. But let's follow up in Matthew chapter 28. We're going to start in verse 1. It said, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. I want you guys to listen to this. This is the declaration right here. He is not here, for he is risen. Few words should stir our hearts like that. He is not here, for he is risen. When Christ did that, It brought not just freedom from sin, but it brought us freedom from death. It was a declaration that Jesus fulfilled, and he fulfilled what he said he was going to do. Back in Matthew chapter 16, he said, I must suffer many things, and the elders of the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day. And he arose so that he could put death to shame. He did that so whenever a Christian dies, we can have resurrection with him. Because Christ rose, we are one day going to rise to newness of life in heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, we touched on it this morning. It said, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so then, also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He is not here, for he is risen. The power of the resurrection is something that we always need to keep in mind. It's something that we always need to be recycling. Like, just like we have the 4th of July and remembering freedom, remembering independence, we should always, not just once a year, but we should be constantly thinking about what Jesus did to free us from sin, what he did to free us from the penalty of hell. It is freedom from death. It's a spiritual thing, and we don't have to pay that penalty anymore because Christ led captivity captive. He has eliminated death. He has eliminated eternal damnation for us that believe. If you believe that he has made you free, then you are. Romans chapter 6, verse 20. If you guys want to turn there, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 really could have been my main text here because it says all that we need to know about what Christ did. In verse 20 of Romans chapter 6, it says, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In verse 20, I want you guys to look at that where it says, for when ye were servants unto sin. Before we're saved, we are servants unto sin. Whenever you're saved, you are in bondage, you are in shackles. and you're not inclined to do right, you're inclined to do wrong. But here, in verse 23, in verse 22, it says, now, being made free from sin, ye become servants of God. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, he broke those shackles for you. So that all you have to do is believe on Jesus Christ, put your faith in him, repent, and you are free from sin. We not just have victory in sin in death, we have it in life as well. He gives us victory over sin in all aspects of life, and he gives us the power to do so. But after salvation, you are made free, and you are no longer in bondage, and you have victory over sin, and this sin, you have victory over the sin, both in this life and the next. I want to read you guys a little article that I wrote. Excuse me for having my phone in church, but I think I'll excuse myself. But it is a story from Vance Havner. It says, Vance Havner tells the story of a lady who came forward during an invitation for a meeting to be saved. She was very sophisticated and a refined woman. She had a graduate's degree and was very articulate and intelligent. And when she came forward during the invitation, Dr. Havner asked her, "Why have you come forward?" And she said, "I want to go to heaven." Havner doesn't know why he said what he said next, but he said, "Ma'am, do you realize that you are a hell-bound sinner worthy only of God's judgment?" And she looked at him, all shocked and in disbelief, and she said, "Why, no, I've been good all my life." And he said, "Well, in that case, ma'am, you cannot go to heaven. Why don't you have a seat over there? Because you cannot be saved." Bewildered, she went to one of the front rows of the seats, the next verse of the song of the invitation, she came forward again and said, "Sir, I would like to be saved." And he said, phones are so dumb sometimes. And he said, "Ma'am, to be saved, you have to have something to be saved from. That's important. You have to have something to be saved from. To be saved is to be saved from sin. Until you realize that you are a lost, helpless sinner, you cannot be saved." And Jesus said, "They that are whole have no need for a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Suddenly, it was like a light went off in her head. And from that point on, she realized that she was, in fact, a poor, lost sinner. But that's an important thing for us to learn, is that we are sinners. And it is something for us to remember that we were dead in sin. And when Jesus came, he said, "Okay, I want you to view your sin as I view your sin. I want you to repent of that. I want you to turn from that." And that's where salvation comes from. Salvation was given to us by God. He wants us to be free from that, to attain righteousness and sanctification. And he wants us to be free. We see so far that Christ has freed us from the law. He has freed us from death, and he has freed us from sin. But this is the good part. I like this part. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. We're already in Romans, so it's not very far. And we've talked about so many wonderful things today about the country, and we've talked about Jesus, and we've talked about the freedom that comes with those two. And, you know, I love both of those things. I am a patriot 365 days a year. 4th of July is just another day for me. But it's, you know, it's a day that we can remember, and it's a day that we can set aside to blow things up, which I think is cool. But I love them both, but I love Jesus more. Because what the country has given us, the freedoms that the country has given us, is very important. It's a very good thing, but they're not promised tomorrow. The freedoms of America, you know, they're beginning to fade. And they fade because of, you know, under the cloak of love, under the cloak of unity and peace, our freedoms are slowly starting to get etched away. And our country is changing. You know, I don't say that with negativity, because I still have hope that America is going to continue on and it's going to continue to be free. And as long as there's good, God-loving Christians out there, that there will be freedom and that there will be men to stand and do right. But I think about Sodom and Gomorrah, that if the city was not destroyed until the righteous were removed. So as long as there's righteousness in this country, God's going to keep us. And our freedom, you know, though our freedoms in America are sweet as honey, they're a good thing, they're not permanent. They're not eternal. But I want us to look at the freedom that Jesus gives us. The freedom from sin, the freedom from hell, and the freedom from death. And I want us to look at how sure those are. Look in Romans chapter 8 with me, in verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. And listen to this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, I in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Can we get an amen for that? That is assurance. That is sure. That is firm. That is something that cannot be moved. That is a God-given guarantee that we will have the love of Christ and that we have salvation to the end. That not anything, not internal, not external, not the angels, not demons, not Satan, not the past, not the future, nothing can take us from the hand of God. It is cemented. And once you're saved, you're locked in. In every fiber of your soul and your spirit, it is bonded with Christ's love. And even you can't take away salvation. Once you're saved, you are locked in. Because the reason why you can't lose your salvation once you're saved is because Christ did it all. If it was dependent on you being a good boy, it ain't going to happen. It's dependent on what Christ did on the cross. He paid it all. It's because of what Christ did is that we have salvation. And we have that freedom from sin and death and the law. Now, I received my freedom. We'll close after this. I received my freedom in the United States through my parents, through the bloodline, because I am now a citizen of the United States whenever I was born in the United States. And that's how I got my freedom from the United States. But I received my freedom from Jesus whenever I believed on him, whenever I repented and I put my faith in him. You know, one I was born into, the other I asked for it and it was given to me as a gift. My question today is, are you free? Are you free? Are you free from sin? Are you free from death and hell? Are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven? And I know that this is a lot of the people here are regulars for the church, but I think it's something that we need to always be questioning. Because there are some people here that, there are some people I know in other churches that have sat in church for 20 years, but they've never applied it to their heart. They've never said, oh wait, I'm a sinner. Oh wait, Jesus Christ died for me. I'm the one that needs to repent. I'm the one that needs to come to him and put my faith in him. And it's just something I'm challenging you guys with today. The question is, are you free? Are you free from the penalty of sin and hell? And I just have to say one thing. Today would be a great day to get saved if you're not saved. So this 4th of July, you can celebrate not just your freedom as an American, but you can celebrate your freedom as a Christian and freedom from that sin, freedom from hell. And you can say that I'm free inside and out and top to bottom. And that's really my hope for you, and that's my wish for you. And my hope for those that are saved here is that we would remember those things that Jesus did. As we remember the freedoms and we remember the cost of keeping that flag the way it is. We have to also remember what Christ did for us and remember the freedoms that he gives us. I told you guys that was going to be short. That was pretty short. I think it was pretty good. 35 minutes is all right, considering it's 8 pages. But I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask for an invitation here. And then I'll give him a little encouragement, and then I'll ask Pastor Farley to come up and close this, all right? So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for this day. And Lord, I thank you so much for the freedom that you've given us. Lord, I thank you that you've paid it all, that you declared independence for us, that you've declared freedom for us, and that all we have to do is ask. And Lord, I just ask that if there's anybody here today that maybe is not saved, that they would be. That they would come to me or pastor or their parents or somebody here, that they would just ask and say, you know, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven, and I really want to know. I want to be firm in that. And Lord God, I just ask that you would work in hearts now and that you would convict those that have not. Lord, I thank you so much for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. My encouragement to you guys is that we do have a great Savior. And we do have a great country. And I think it's important that we all do our part as Christians. You know, I think it was Kennedy that said, ask not what you can do for your country, but ask what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And I think that we should be lights and witnesses. I think that we should be patriots. Christians should be the most patriotic people there are. Because we see the price of freedom, we understand it, and we know it. Ronald Reagan said that patriotism starts at the dinner table. What that means is that it starts in the family. It starts with what the parents teach their kids. And the family is the backbone of America. It's our job to remind the next generation. I was super encouraged because you ladies up here, I could hear y'all. I could hear you guys singing when we were singing. You guys sounded great, by the way. But it's so important that we ingrain that into the younger kids, that we encourage them to see what we have here, and teach them what it means to be a patriotic American, and we teach them the importance of freedom. And more importantly, though, we teach them the importance of the freedom that comes with Christ. And that is my encouragement to you guys today. Thank you so much, Pastor Farley.
That was a great message, amen. I think we should stand together, because we're going to pray in just a moment, because we're going to pray for the food, because in just a... y'all are hungry, right? Y'all kind of look hungry to me. So we're going to pray in just a moment. But you know what I'd like us to do? We can do it with just our voices. Let's sing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Great singing. Amen. Well, here's some instructions for us. We're going to go right down, and Brother Johnny said that the food's cooking, and it's pretty much ready right now. What we just want to encourage you to do is we like to allow our seniors to go first in line. So if you could please allow them to go first. If you deny that you're a senior, it's your problem. But if you want to go first and you have any grays, then you'll be able to get up there. So if we can do that. Also, if you would please, there is some limited space in the fellowship room. We are going to turn on, make sure there's air conditioning in some of the other rooms for heat and that sort of thing. If you could allow some of the our seniors to take those spots and just allow them to use that, because they and the rest of us can be out in the hallway. Lots of seating, and it's going to be great. And then we'll make some loud noise so that you all can come out and see the fireworks when they're happening. Amen? Well, right now we're going to close in prayer, and I will ask the Lord to bless the food also. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this country. We thank you for the notion of freedom. We've seen tyranny in all its forms politically, but Lord, there's a greater tyranny that's happening. And Brother Michael shared that with us. It's the tyranny of sin in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that it's your blood that freed us from that. Potentially has freed the entire world. Your sacrifice on the cross is powerful enough to make everyone in the world free. That's how powerful you are. And we thank you for freeing us, and we thank you for giving us that gospel that we can help others to experience that same freedom. I ask, Lord, I thank you so much for all the folks who brought food, who cooked for Brother Johnny and the others, who are down there right now working in the kitchen, preparing food for us. We ask you to bless their effort. Lord, bless the food to our bodies and our bodies to your service. We thank you and praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go down and have a picnic.